It's God's will.
Sir.
You see, and the reason, and this is not to say that God's love does not play a part in the election, because it does. That's not to say that God's grace does not play a part in the election, because it does. That's not to say that God's foreknowledge does not play a part in the election, because it does.
Yes, sir.
But the moving cause, the first moving cause of our election, is the will of God. God is absolutely free. See what I'm saying? When we think of the election, we have to be careful. Well, God chose me because he loved me. So that binds God to some arbitrary love. You see, in Scripture, God purposed to love people.
Exactly.
God willed to love people. God didn't just love and then will to save them. He willed to love us.
Yes, sir.
He willed to show us grace. He willed to foreknow us. God's will is absolutely sovereign. It's absolutely free in the election, in accord with the good pleasure of his will. That's what we read last week, Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5. We are not required to justify God's sovereign will.
No, sir.
Free will people try to deny it. They refuse to justify God's sovereign will. They refuse to even acknowledge it exists. They call it heresy. But you cannot read this Bible with a sound mind and not realize this Bible clearly declares God Almighty is absolutely sovereign.
Amen. That's it.
God created not because he had to, but because he wanted to. And God made things when there was no one else to consult. God made things according to his own pleasure. So we're not required to justify God's sovereign will, but we would do well to believe it. But let me add this qualifier. We would do well to believe it a certain way. We would do well to believe it a certain way. Now before I give you that certain way, let's look at that passage. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 13, where Paul says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you." So which comes first? It says, "Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God chose you." Why did he love you?
Yeah.
Because he chose you.
Yes, sir.
Right? Is that what that says?
Yeah.
We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. Somebody said, we're just bound to give thanks because God loved you. Well, that too.
Yeah.
But the whole thing's included.
Yeah.
We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. And here's who you are, brethren. You are the beloved of the Lord because, why? God chose you.
Amen.
So we see that we can put it this way. God chose to love me.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
God chose to love you. And how are we chosen? Go back to Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5 again. According to the good pleasure of his what? Will. Not his love, not his grace, not his foreknowledge. But his love, his will. But what is the manner in which we should believe God concerning this? Now you can turn to Matthew chapter 11. But before I read the way that we would do well to believe it, I will say, and this is probably at best, we rarely do. I will say at best we rarely do, if ever we truly do. I say we, and I included you with me, because I figure according to Scripture you're pretty much just like I am. Now maybe you don't outwardly show it as bad as I do sometimes, or maybe you show it worse. I don't know. That's not the point. The point is, nothing comes out here what ain't done down in here first.
That's it.
What's not on the inside. If it ain't on the inside, it ain't going to manifest itself on the outside. It's a human impossibility.
Yeah.
You know, if some people say, well, I wouldn't have done that if I got drunk. Well, you would have done it. Eventually, it'll come out on you. You can't blame the alcohol. Why wouldn't that? A guy ain't like that when he's on drugs. No, you just don't see it.
Exactly.
Unless he's on drugs.
Yeah.
It just allows it to come out. when he takes the drugs or drinks the alcohol. Because the reason he's doing that outwardly, or she's doing that outwardly, because it's down here.
That's right.
It's on the inside. The problem is we don't believe God as we should because we are incapable of it apart from the free and sovereign grace of God.
Yes.
Now here's the way the sovereignty of God should be believed. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, now look at those first three words,
yeah.
I thank thee.
Amen.
Right? I thank thee. O Father, Lord. Now, O Father's fine. I mean, all of this is important, but I'm pointing out the way in which we would do well to believe it. To believe it in a certain way. First of all, we should believe it thanking God for it.
Yes.
Right? Yes, acknowledging He is the Lord of what? Heaven and earth. Now, there are people who will acknowledge God is sovereign, but He's sovereign in heaven.
Yeah.
But He's not sovereign on earth. He's not sovereign among men. Now, maybe every once in a while with a few squirrels and some gnats and a possum.
Exactly.
Maybe a grasshopper or two in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But not with men. But He is Lord of heaven and earth. And that's the way it's to be believed.
Yes, sir.
God is to be believed in this, acknowledged as Lord of heaven and earth, and thanked for it.
Yes.
But are we to merely thank Him for the election? Now, years ago, I began to see this. I was so thankful for it. But there was another side of it. I'd just soon not been there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what that side of it's called, don't you? It's called the rejection.
That's right.
It's called the reprobation.
Yeah.
It's called God hating some people. And the way we ought to believe it is to be thankful for that as well.
Amen.
Now look. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you chose certain people. Is that His first response?
No, sir.
No. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent.
Amen.
The first thing He thanks God for is His reprobation. Of certain men. Is that not true?
Yeah.
That's the first thing He responds to God in thanks toward.
Yeah.
He didn't say, God, I thank you, you've revealed it to some people. And that kind of means other folks don't get it. I thank you that you have not revealed these things unto the wise and the prudent. That thou hast hid. No. It didn't just say. See, that's where the mind works its own little magic, don't it?
Uh-huh.
It didn't say that you didn't just reveal it to them. I thank you that you, what?
Hid
it from them. You don't want them to know it.
Amen.
Now people say, that's not the God I like. Well, tough.
Amen.
Tough. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
He hides it from some people.
Yes, sir.
That's why it says, in another place, Christ said, and few there be that...
Fine.
I used to preach that and say, now God didn't hide it. Yeah, He did. Christ right here thanks Him for hiding it.
Amen.
Does He not?
Yes, sir. That's it.
You see, we are so depraved that even after we're delivered from total depravity, we're still totally depraved.
Exactly.
I don't know how to explain that. And we will at any moment revert back to our total depravity.
Well, yeah. You're right.
Apart from the hand of God.
Exactly.
Keeping us from doing it. At
that
time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord in heaven and earth. The reason I thank you is because you hid it from some folks and you revealed it to others. Even so, Father. Why? Because this is just the way it had to be. Is that what it says? No. God is not bound by any law.
Exactly.
Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now see, I don't know. I mean, I'm just stating what could be the facts. I don't know. I can't see the heart. But let's say one of my children or someone I care deeply about happens to be reprobated by God. I ought to thank God for it.
That's true.
Right?
Yes,
I ain't seen too many people shake their head. But it's true.
It is.
It's true. What if God willing to show his wrath? See, God wants to show his wrath.
Yes, sir.
His wrath is not something God kind of says, oh, well, you know, it's going to have to come out. Ain't nothing I can do. They wouldn't let me have my way. See, not only is God the source of the election, that is his sovereign will, God is also the source of the reprobation as well.
Yes, sir.
And listen, I understand why we all don't readily shake our head. Yes, that's right. But we're just like someone else we know, Abraham.
Yeah, exactly.
Who, when he was told that, no, my covenant will be with another.
Yep.
Not this son of yours named Ishmael.
That's right.
And what did Abraham cry out? He cried out what we usually do. Maybe not always, but what we usually do. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. I can see him, Lord. I can't see this other one you're talking about not come along yet. I see him. And for years I didn't relate. I mean, it was so weird. Why is he worried about Ishmael? And I was so dull to the facts here, to the truth. That boy was his flesh and blood.
Yes, sir.
Ishmael was no less a son of Abraham than was Isaac.
Exactly.
You know?
That's right.
That was his boy. And God said, I ain't going to have him. As I stood here and told you, I don't know which would be easier to deal with.
Yeah.
Not knowing and still having to give God thanks for it. Huh? Or knowing and having to give God thanks for it.
Exactly.
I've often thought if only I knew, it'd make it easier. No, it might make it harder. So my problem is I'm so faulty. I have no idea what I'd do.
That's it.
You know?
Right.
I may fly in the face of God. Only to have God put me back in my place where I belong. We are to justify God's sovereign will based upon the authority of God's word. Why did God do these things? Because it seemed good in his sight. And we ought to be glad for that. We ought not be... Now, we may not in our personal devotion to God, we may know, God, I'm so far short of thanking you as my Lord did. Okay? I'm so far short of being able to thank God for both sides of this matter. Right? But let me tell you something. We ought not complain to the world about it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? If you got any complaints, take them to God and deal with them before God.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to the world, God did not choose the world.
That's right.
He chose his people in Christ.
Amen.
Now you think about that. Somebody says, well, I believe God so loved the world. I believe the same John that wrote that also said the whole world lies in the wicked one.
Exactly.
Now you go ahead and mull over that for a while.
Amen.
See, people try to pick one verse over another to discredit one or the other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a world God loved. It's his creation.
The
love there that God's talking about is not some individual love for all the human race or individual love for individuals. It's talking about God's love for the cosmos. For God so loved his creation that he gave his son to save believers. That's what it teaches.
Yes, sir.
That's what it teaches.
Exactly.
And when John says the whole world lies in the wicked one, they do. That's the whole world of the reprobate. No, we would do well to believe God's sovereignty, God's sovereignty, and to believe it in a certain way. And how's that? To give God thanks for all of it. I've heard preachers say it, and I'm not trying to be super critical because I've said it myself, but they'll talk about the sovereignty of God, how God chose certain people and didn't choose others. But I just wish, this one would believe it. They're not believing it. Well, if God purposed, I should say, for them not to believe it, then I ought to thank God for it.
Yeah.
That's what ought to be done. Why? Because God willed it to be so.
Yes, sir.
You see, Peter does say the Lord Jesus Christ is our example. Right?
Yes, sir.
He is our example. So if he thanked God for it, that would, we would, it's the only way we would do well if we did. I'm not standing here telling you this morning, boy, I do that. Y'all need to be like me. I know I'm supposed to be an ensample to the flock as well. And I want you to know, I think, if I ain't mistaken, go back and look and see if that don't say ensample. Is that the way it says it, Mason? It doesn't say I'm to be an example. It says I'm to be an ensample. Now check that, somebody. Make sure I'm right there. Remember, the first moving cause of our election is what? God's will.
Yes, sir.
It's not His love. It's not His grace. It's not His foreknowledge. See, this is the whole thing. When men have a wrong idea about the will of God, then they go wrong in His love, His grace, or His foreknowledge.
Yes, sir. That's it.
If they have a correct understanding of His will, then the love, the grace, the foreknowledge will fall in line.
Yes, sir.
You know there are people who loved, well, but God so loved the world. Well, then God evidently chose everybody. So they come in up with this rationalization. God wants you. He chose you. He wants to have you. The devil chose you. He wants to have you. And then you cast the dividing vote, the deciding vote. But this thing's not a democracy.
Exactly.
God don't care about the devil's opinion. As a matter of fact, when God chose us, the devil didn't exist.
Exactly.
He didn't exist. Even the devil, who was before called Lucifer, before he even became the devil, is a creation of God.
Yes, sir.
He is not eternal. But God's love, His grace, His foreknowledge, yea, His will toward His people is eternal.
Amen.
It is eternal. He loved us as He loved Christ. And you know what? You think about this. Not just as He loved us as He loved us in Christ. God's love for us is in Christ. It's not just He loves me. That's the whole problem. He willed to love me in His Son. He cannot love me any other way.
Exactly.
Because God hates all workers of iniquity. And I, by nature, am included in that.
That's it.
Scripture never said God loves sinners. Men say that everywhere. God loves sinners. God loves sinners. It don't say that. It said God loves us in that while we were yet sinners. But it doesn't say God loves sinners. God hates sin and sinners.
Yes, sir.
God willed toward us. He chose us. He loves us. He gave us grace and He foreknew us all in Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now, able men have promoted these things that I'm about to mention. I've already mentioned them, but I'm about to go into a little more detail. I've even promoted it myself. But the first moving cause of the election is not God's love. Now this is given, most people go to Ephesians, the same place, Ephesians chapter 1. And that's where they read it at. Ephesians 1 verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, some of you may know of this, some of you may not, but there is debate as to where that phrase in love should be. But no matter where it's at, it doesn't change the actual meaning.
Exactly.
It may put emphasis on one thing more than the other, but it doesn't change the meaning. Some say the phrase in love having predestinated us. Others say it should be as it is as we read it, verse 4. The point is, many people try to say, see, love is the first motivating cause. But see, they're not reading it all.
Exactly.
And for some reason, man has this hang up with love.
Yeah. Right.
Because we love everything. I'm serious. We love from spaghetti to snakes.
Yeah.
But not everybody. Not everybody loves snakes. Not everybody loves spaghetti.
That's it.
But there's somebody somewhere loves spaghetti, and there's other people somewhere love snakes.
Yeah.
And me, that just don't compute.
Yeah.
Either one.
Yeah.
I like spaghetti very much, but spaghetti ain't never done nothing for me. Has it for you? I love. That's what we use that. You know, I love checkers. You know? I love hunting. I love fishing. I love shopping. You know, I love sitting in my recliner. I love my carpet. Now, any man, any woman that hears a man say, I love our carpet, and then I love you, baby, ought to have some problem with that. Don't you think? Mr. Husband, I believe you need to put a little qualifier in that. You know? I believe you need to distinguish between the love you have for me and the love you have for our carpet. Right? But we don't care. We use that word love on everything. Right? And somebody said, well, people know what I mean. No, they don't. That's the problem. We don't know what we mean.
Exactly.
We say what we want, and we expect everybody else to know what we mean. And then when they don't know what we mean, we get upset. My feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
If we say what we mean, then if they get upset, we can say, okay, now at least we're on level playing ground.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. That's it.
I like our carpet. I love you. Any wife here got a problem with that? You want your husband to love you like he loves the carpet? You go right ahead then. Husband, if that's the kind of marriage you got, I feel for you. Well, if that's all you got to have love for your wife is like you love your carpet, you can get rid of that carpet anytime you want. Remember Earl said a word to the wise is sufficient? I just read in the scripture. Matter of fact, it's this morning. I was looking up passages on love. You know what I found? Something about a man's supposed to write his wife, the woman he's supposed to marry, a bill of divorcement and send her away. Mason, that was a command.
Yeah.
How about that one? I'll throw that one in there for free. Look, blessed, no, let me go back. According, verse 4 rather, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, and that will be in love as well. Because God's love, God's grace, God's foreknowledge, it's all included.
Yes, sir.
God didn't will to just take us to heaven. He willed to love us.
That's right.
He willed to show us and give us grace. He willed to foreknow us, you see.
Yes, sir.
But look, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. But then here is the qualifying phrase. How did he do all of this? According to the good pleasure of his what? Love? No. Of his grace? No. Of his foreknowledge? No. Of his will.
Yes, sir.
You see, in the order, I didn't say in time, but in the order of God Almighty's revelation of himself toward us, in its order, his will always stands supreme. That's given to us as supreme. It is his in this relation to the election. Now, the primary perfection of God as he manifests himself to humanity is his holiness. But when it comes to the election, the primary beauty of God, this primary perfection of God is his will. His will is said to be perfect. Right?
That's it.
Romans 12, Paul tells us, I beg you, I beseech you, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Yes, sir.
That ye may prove what is that good and what? Perfect will of God. Now it doesn't say, you're going to be in it, but we also ought to what? Prove it.
Yeah.
Prove it. That's the problem. Most people read that and say, I'm supposed to be in God's will. No, you're in God's will, whether you like it or not.
That's right.
God's people are supposed to be proving it. No, God's will is the first moving cause. Because, as I've already read it, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, why did Paul give thanks to God for these people who were beloved of the Lord? In the order, why were they beloved? Why? Because God chose them, right?
That's it.
It's not he loved me and then therefore had to choose me. And look at it. Look at the passage. It's one that, and people just, they usually don't read the whole thing. They read certain phrases and then build their doctrine upon those phrases. Deuteronomy chapter 7. This is God speaking to Israel as to his choosing Israel. And it's almost 12 o'clock already. Look at what it says. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, he is talking to Israel as a nation.
Yes, sir.
And he's saying that you people, as a nation, will be a special people far above all other national people.
Yes, sir.
And that is never has never changed.
Exactly.
They are still nationally above anybody else.
Yes, sir.
But God is not dealing with them nationally now. As a nation. That is, he is not pouring out his blessings upon them nationally. He is pouring out the blessings upon Jews individually through the individual election in the church. But one day God will turn to the Jews again.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because as Paul said, Romans 11, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. They're without change. Yes, right now they're in unbelief. How? Nationally. Now the elect, Mason, they're not in unbelief. The elect are coming to believe, but the Jews, even as an elect, don't believe nationally, do they? The Jews don't believe nationally. Even the elect ones don't believe nationally. They believe individually. But one day, Paul said, God will, what did he do? What did he say? He will bring them back again. Graft them in again. It says, God is able. And if God's able to do anything, he'll do it. Look, you're a special people. How did I get off on that? I didn't. That's what I just read here. Didn't get off on anything, you see.
That's it.
A special people in himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you. Okay, see? Now look, well, okay. He loved us and then chose. But look at what it says. The Lord did not. Look at what that word is. Now, he's given in the negative. The Lord didn't set his love upon you or choose you because you were more in number, because you were the fewest in number. But here's the whole point. God did what concerning his love toward them? He set it upon them. It's not just God loved them. God willed to love them. He purposed to love them. He chose to love them. He predestinated his love toward them. Now, this is why some people accuse people like me and you, if you believe the truth, of being double predestinarians. You know, I really don't care. I don't care. Because God has predestinated many things and many people.
Yes, sir.
Like, you know, like, he's a hyper-Calvinist. I really don't care what they call me.
Yeah.
I used to. I've been called a whole lot worse than that. I've been called some things I don't want to repeat and it go on tape.
That's right.
The only time you'll hear me saying those things is when he was with me in Paul's car and that wrench went through the tire. You'd have heard me say it then. And I said it. It was not a pleasant day. The Lord did not what? In other words, the Lord did set his love on you. Why?
Yeah.
Because he wanted to. Because he says, in another passage, he says through the prophet, it pleased God to make you his people.
Amen.
Somebody says, that's of Israel. Yeah, you're blessed and well right it is. But it's also true of every individual that God chose in Christ.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
The election's always the same. The reason God chose that one wicked king to provide a certain purpose for his people. Wasn't because that king had some great abilities. Where did that king get his abilities?
Exactly.
Where did that king get his throne? Who put that king on the throne?
Yeah.
God did.
That's right.
God chose that king based upon nothing in the king. He chose that king based upon his own sovereign will.
Yes, sir.
And that election had nothing to do with salvation of the king. It had to do with the salvation of his people.
Yeah.
And even grace. Romans 11, you know the passage. It's called, what? The election of grace.
Amen.
Right? And grace is included because it is a gracious election.
Yes.
We certainly did not deserve it.
Exactly.
And knowing what we would be, not what we were.
Yeah.
But knowing what we would be, we certainly could not have earned it, right?
Exactly. That's it.
And somebody said, well, God always considered us as fallen. Really? He always knew we would fall.
Yeah.
But to say God always considered us as fallen is to say that God considered us to not be perfect in Adam when Adam or upright when God first created Adam. Because remember, when God first created Adam and Eve, he said that it was what? Very good.
Yeah.
Now, we were in Adam then as well, right? So that meant there was a time when we were what? Very good. That's why we call it a fall.
Exactly.
We actually did fall. We were created upright. We did stand very good at one time. But then we what? We failed. Why did our Lord say, I am come to seek and to save that which, notice it didn't say is lost. I mean, I'm not real good at English. I did not pay attention when I was in school. I wish I would have for this very purpose now. But he did not say, I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, every man is lost. He said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. There was something specifically held, something specifically had, something specifically in possession that was then what? Lost.
That's
and he
right.
come to have it back.
That's right.
You see? God chose us in Christ. We fail in Adam. Then he places us by regeneration back into Christ.
Sir.
I was chosen, and I was chosen in a perfect one, and I was always perfect.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So that makes me a superlapsarian. But I also know God chose and purposed, chose me and purposed that I fall.
Yeah.
Because he purposed to save me. He chose to save me. And his son was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So that makes me a sublapsarian. But they say you can't be both. I don't know why. What did I just say? Is not what I just said to you, both of those things, equally true?
Yes.
All right. It's the question settled. Somebody said, what are you? I'm all of them.
Exactly.
Just tell them I'm all of them. I said, I don't even understand what they mean, but I'm all of them. No, it does say there is the election according to grace. But let me tell you, God willed to show us that grace. And again, another one, foreknowledge. Isn't it amazing? Paul and I talked about this the other day. 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2, and I will close down here in just a moment. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That's what the book says, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, you know what's amazing? In any kind of argument, in any kind of debate, you must start from some rational and logical explanation of the argument upon which it's based. Okay? It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And some people that automatically say, well, that means God foreknew what we would do. He foreknew who would believe, who would repent, and he chose them. Does it say that?
No.
No. It doesn't even say that anywhere. But man, being illogical in their argument, presupposes that into the verse.
Exactly.
Why can it not equally mean God foreknew what he would do?
Exactly.
Huh?
Exactly.
And there is a passage that says that.
Yes, sir.
Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. So that's foreknowledge.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Ding, 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 ding. Proper argument from Scripture. What did God know about us? It says, God looked down from heaven, and he looked at the sons of men to see if there's any that understood. And what did he say? There's none that understands. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none good. Their throats. That's what God saw in us.
Exactly.
Yes, we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And I remember years, you know, not that long ago, trying to make that out to be some special knowledge. God, no, God knows all men. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. It, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Foreknowledge of what? foreknowledge of what he would do.
Amen.
His foreknowledge of what we would do helped us not at all.
Exactly.
Our throats were an open sepulcher. Wasn't that what you said, Joe?
Yeah.
See, that's one thing that a dead man can do. Stink.
Yeah.
You don't even have to tell him to.
Exactly.
Do you? A dead man can do something. That's rot and smell. And that's what we are by nature. And God even said that about us one time, didn't he? He said that our actions came up before him as a what in his nostrils? A stench. Like a rotting carcass.
Yes, sir.
That's one thing we can do, being dead in our sins. We can wallow in it and rot in it.
Yeah.
And you know what? The garment's still spotted by the flesh. Ain't it? Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for the fact that God Almighty willed us to be saved, we'd never be saved. Notice in Ephesians, I'll move ahead because I want to get to the next one, election's grand original. I want to talk about Christ being chosen.
Yes, sir.
But I want you to notice in Ephesians 1, where it talks about the counsel. That's right, the counsel of his. Notice it says the counsel of his own will.
Yes.
It doesn't say the counsel of his own heart.
No.
It doesn't say the counsel of his own mind. It says the counsel of his own what? Will.
Sir.
Here's just a couple passages. I'll read them and then make some brief remarks. Relatively brief remarks. Daniel chapter 4. Verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. Men think, well, if God is really in control, why don't he put the best men in charge? Well, one reason is they ain't none. They ain't no best men.
Exactly.
But God just enjoys doing everything contrary. It's just the way he is. He doesn't put even the bestest among the worst. He puts in the what? The basest. God does that? Yeah, God does that. Next verse 25. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat the grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. Seven times shall pass over thee. Look, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now let me tell you, that is not only sovereignty, but that is sovereignty seen in sovereignty. Because he don't do that for every ruler.
That's right.
Does he? That is, show every ruler this sovereignty. Reveal this sovereignty to him, does he? All of them are sovereignly put there. He gives it to whomsoever he will, but he doesn't reveal that to them. He may let them think they got there by their own smarts. But this guy, he purposed to do what? I'm going to show it to him. Somebody said, well, that was because he was proud. Many others have been. Right? Another verse here, and you know this one, verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Nothing. Not even grasshoppers. Nothing. Grasshopper can make a good meal if you cover him with enough sauce. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as what? Nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?
Amen.
You see, God is this way. God does things always contrary to the way natural man thinks things ought to be done.
Exactly.
If the majority of people, when I say majority, I'm not talking about the majority of God's people here. I'm talking about the majority of mankind, the majority of people you're around most of the time, unbelievers.
Yeah.
If the majority say, well, this is the way it ought to be done, this is the way it ought to happen, you can probably guarantee it ain't going to happen that way.
Exactly.
God ain't going to let it.
Exactly.
And let me tell you, he don't even do that for us.
Yeah.
His own people.
That's it.
You know that? It ain't up to us what God's going to do.
Yeah.
Well, if we just pray enough, God will do this for that one. Yeah, we can pray. He may damn them.
Exactly.
He may damn them. Oh, God, do something for him. He might.
Yeah.
He might. And there may be one out there that this whole group despises. They've done us wrong. They've done the group wrong, David, as a group. They may have aimed at an individual or two, but their whole intent was to hurt the group. And you know what? God may show that very one mercy and grace. You know that? And that'll be his business.
Amen.
You know that? Now, it may tongue-tie me. It may, David, it may fluster me and say, "That's I've never done it that way." But that's usually the way God does it.
That's it.
Exactly opposite the way we think it ought to be done.
Yeah.
Father, I pray that you not just teach us thy way, but teach us of thyself. Teach us who you are. May we be enabled, at least in some degree, to give thee praise and honor in the person of thy Son. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.